This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Russell, who is confusing us already, and he's only just walked into the studio. Hello, Stephen A. Russell.
I mean, my headphone was definitely plugged in. I don't know what you're insinuating.
We're getting some really strong miming skills.
And I like your knob today.
I have a very, very big knob in front of my face. I'm quite perturbed.
Your microphone. What do you call that?
Is it a condom? Is it a sock? I don't know.
I think it's a sock.
For anyone listening who can't see what's going on, we're talking about a microphone sock. Also, sorry if I poked you in the chest or the nipple while I was reaching for the cord for your headphones.
It's huge.
It really is. It's quite. It's comically almost the size of my head. But it's a shame you can't. It's a shame it's not television.
Hey, we should take a photo and put it on social media.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Movies. Did you go? Did you see any?
Let's take this a little bit more highbrow, yeah.
I know you're going to talk about a film that I'm very keen to hear what you're going to say about it when we get to it.
All right.
Real fast.
We are going to talk about that. Put a pin on that one first because I want to start with the new movie from one of my personal favourites, the great queer, fabulosa Spanish filmmaker, Pedro Almodóvar. Now, you know, he's been making movies for a long time now.
I didn't know he was a gay man.
He is, proudly, and you know, I feel like even when his films aren't explicitly queer, there's always that kind of slightly camp, melodramatic sensibility to it. But he does it in such a beautiful way that it's always really measured. His films are always really focused on women, and he does that really sensitively. And, you know, he's gone through a whole range of voices. You know, he started out kind of doing really kind of sex comedy farce. And gradually, as he's got older, the films have become a bit more, I guess, a bit more mournful or a bit more introspective. And he's had definite phases.
Mm.
And last year, obviously, he did Pain and Glory, which was a really beautiful film that was kind of semi-autobiographical.
Oh, okay.
About, you know, being an older man, having health issues, kind of struggling to love the art. And I thought it was one of absolute career highlight, and he's pulled out yet another one.
Whoa.
With Parallel Mothers.
Okay, and who's in it? There's somebody fairly well known.
Yeah, absolutely. She was also in Pain and Glory, but Penelope Cruz returns, and they've had a long...
Yeah,
and she's been in a lot of his movies, hasn't she?
She's basically, I guess... I hate to say the word muse because she's more powerful. She's empowered.
Yeah.
But also Rossi De Palma, less well known, but has been in many of his films as well.
Oh, okay.
And she plays the Penelope's character's best friend. And basically the setup of this is that Penelope and young rising star Milena Smith are two single women who have, you know, unexpected pregnancies, and they end up in hospital in labour at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And this kind of chance meeting really sets off a whole chain reaction of, you know, increasingly kind of wild plot turns. And there's also a bit of a, I don't want to give too much away, but there's definitely some quite explicit queer sensibilities in this one.
Right.
And what I really love about it as well, and this is something he often does, so you've got on one hand this very intimate story of two women kind of making their way in the world as new mothers, but he also folds in Spanish history, and he really, there's a subplot about...
Yeah, see, I don't know enough about him. Do you?
No, I don't either.
Oh, look, he's an incredible filmmaker.
Neil, you seem to know
I know of his films. I mean, I know obviously he's Spanish, but I mean, because I think... started off in the 80s, in fact. And I think his early films even had Antonio Banderas before he became a sort of a Hollywood hit star,
basically. Oh, so, right. Honestly, it's a back catalogue. There's hardly a dud in it. There's a couple, but not many.
What, all the wars and stuff?
Yeah, so basically there's a subplot where Penelope plays a photographer and her family come from a small village that was one of the first to face kind of, you know, during the Civil War, attempted genocide, and you know, where lots of villagers were killed.
Yeah,
I mean, horrific, and unmarked graves.
Yeah,
so there's this really dark history that hangs over.
But then again, thinking about it, I'm going off on a total different tangent here. But the Spanish, you know, have been brutal through history. Look when they went to South Africa. Yeah. Not Africa, South America. How they wiped out, you know, like so many races there.
Look,
that happened with a lot of European countries, isn't it? So
I'm going to say there's a lot. There's not. I mean, we're sitting in one right now that doesn't want to be throwing stones. So on that front, from either end, really. But anyway, moving on.
Look, we won't start picking on.
Look, it's really. I thought this was stunning. It's really emotional. It's beautiful as well. Even the architecture. Almodóvar is a filmmaker. Every single time, I just want to move into the apartment of anyone.
What town?
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot, and I'm going to say I can't remember exactly. It might be Madrid, but I don't quote me on that. Neil, you might have to Google that.
I'll have to Google that one. But a lot of his stuff is usually from Madrid. So
So look,
how many stars?
I'm giving it 4.5.
I think it's an
absolute cracker.
Okay.
And the only reason I won't go 5 is because there's so many of his films I absolutely adore. So it's just slightly below that, but it's a beautiful film.
What was the title of that one?
That is Parallel Mothers in Cinemas Now.
Cool.
The next one, we're going to talk about, we're going from Penelope Cruz to another Hollywood star in the face of Jessica Chastain.
Now, what's she been in before?
Well, she has been in so many films, and you've just put me on the spot again. And I'm like, oh God, why is my brain gone blank?
Look,
very recently, she was in the 355, which is a fairly plodding, average all-women spy movie.
Okay. Now, this one she was heavily involved in, wasn't she? You know, she really wanted to make this film.
Well, she very regularly does take on a producer's role as well.
Okay.
She's one of those kind of real driving forces of women creating, you know, being the force behind getting films off the ground. And this is the new biopic, The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
It's fascinating in the day.
I mean, anyone who was around in the 80s would probably recognize them as a fairly, you know, one of that kind of particularly American force of televangelists, you know, pushing a kind of really happy-clappy version of...
And we're making a fortune out of it.
Rorting a fortune out of it. I mean, this is sort of the idea of the biopic is that... So she plays Tammy Faye, and former Spider-Man Andrew Garfield plays Jim Baker, her partner.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, the film pretty firmly puts the blame for rorting donations on him, and it gives her a very easy ride.
Okay.
I don't 100% know the historical facts on that.
I thought it was him,
in
real life. But I could be, you know, like, it's a long time ago.
Yeah. Now. And look, she has a great performance. I mean, it's a horrendous makeup job, which usually will get you an Oscar, you know. A lot of prosthetics terrible makeup.
The real life Tammy Faye was, you know, was pretty weird.
Well, she had, she tattooed her lips and eyes to have permanent, you know, full-on lines.
Okay.
Anyway, so, but look... It's one of those, but it kind of falls into that same biopic formula where, you know, it's a bit of a zip through, and I feel like it goes so easy on her in particular that there's not a lot of meat to it because it's focused on her, and she's kind of presented really sympathetic. So there's not, they probably miss some of the meat of the story, I think. But however, I mean, she's still really good in it. And weirdly, despite being, you know, a televangelist, she actually became something of a queer icon because she...
That's the really weird thing about it, because I'm with David. I remember Tammy Faye and, you know, the husband, I can't remember his name, but someone Baker, wasn't
it? Yeah, Jim Baker.
And the two of them were sort of like, I thought, almost like public enemy number one for the gay community because of their background.
I mean, they were super Reaganites.
That's right. But then after a while, that seemed to change. And you're right. Tammy Faye then became more of a sort of a supporter of the LGBT
community. During the HIV/AIDS crisis, she really spoke up against parents abandoning their children, during that. And she was a real proponent of everyone deserves love. So it's a complicated character. I don't know if the film The Eyes of Tammy Faye really prosecutes that as much as it could, but look, it's still enjoyable. And her performance is great. I'd give it 3.5.
All right, done.
Alrighty, now, geez, I'm loving this luxurious time and space we've got this week, because there's also a brilliant, look, honestly, I just want everyone to go and see this film, a great Australian film, Here Out West. Now, it opened the Sydney Film Festival last year. And it's just a really brilliant idea. So basically, it's set in Western Sydney, which, you know, is one of the most multicultural, in fact, it is the most multicultural part of Australia with, you know, countless languages spoken there. And basically, it's an anthology film. So there's about 7 or 8 shorts, but they're all really linked together. And it kicks off...
And written by different writers.
Each of the writers is a up-and-coming Western Sydney-based writer. Mm-hmm. And...
But one film? Direct? Just
no,
one?
Each section is also... Some of the directors do more than one section.
Okay.
But the directors are all women, and they're all... actually kind of legendary, well-known directors like Anna Kokkinos,
That's how I know about it.
Well, there you go.
Because we've interviewed Anna.
Right.
And she actually mentioned that she did one of them. Yeah, yeah.
So she is, I think, one of the absolute legends.
Oh, she's an incredible woman.
You know, the Drover's Wife director, Leah Purcell, does a couple. You've got, if you saw the really kind of fun, cross-centered, period drama on ABC, Les Norton, about, you know, the wicked ways of the King's Cross. Fadia Aboud directed that, and she's one of the directors. And it basically starts with I don't want to say too much, but I guess there is a baby is born, and for whatever reason, I won't reveal, the gran kind of nips off with the baby, and that kind of, again, almost like, you know, the situation in Parallel Mothers starts a chain reaction.
Right.
And all of the stories just lightly overlap.
Oh, okay. And okay, because when all of a sudden I thought, have you changed films? And I vagued out because it... You know, like I didn't realize there was a subplot.
That really does follow through. And also there's just some incredible young stars in there. I mean, one of the writers, Arka Das, he is also an up-and-coming... actor. He speaks Bengali, and he's in this beautiful bit where he's kind of a ruffian. Him and his mates are in a bit, you know, they're a bit rambunctious, and they end up in hospital. He gets an injury, end up in the hospital, and then a woman who doesn't speak Bengali, her father's dying, and in his sort of last moments of confusion, he reverts to speaking Bengali, and she doesn't know what he's trying to say. She wants to help him out. So Arka Das plays this young man who comes in and helps out. And it's just really, really beautiful. And so he writes a section. And also the just announced Heath Ledger scholarship awardee for the year, Mr. In-Between actor Rahel Roman, is also in that section. So it's a real incredible kind of platform for young... enthusiastic, diverse Australian talent here out west. It's opening on Thursday. I cannot impress upon you enough how much I love this. Mm. 4 stars. Please go and see it.
Yeah. Okay. And just a little sideline there as well. Anna, the interview that I did on The Art Hunter with her is on Channel 31 tomorrow at 5:30.
Oh, and fantastic.
She, and she speaks about it.
So, great. I mean, I love Anna, and I just want her to do more and more and more, because Head On is one of my all-time favourites.
Oh, yeah.
And she's such a force.
But you know? She's so busy, though.
I know. Like, well, she's done heaps of television. I'd love to see more feature films from
her. Right, okay.
So now we're coming round to it.
Did you give it out of 5?
Yeah, 4. 4 stars. Okay. Loved
and actually,
it.
Before you get to the one that David wants to hear about,
okay, I just have a
couple of messages, and then we'll come right back to you. We're talking to Stephen A. Russell here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
We're all looking for a bit of hope right now. Hope that we're not too late to save the world. Sowing Seeds is a show born out of the diverse stories, characters and cultures within the community gardens of Melbourne. Performed outdoors around a garden bed stage, this verbatim play invites audiences into the community to share in its rituals, mourn its losses and celebrate its triumphs. Sowing Seeds, February 2nd to the 12th at Gasworks Art Park. Tickets at gasworks.org.au. Joy sponsor.
Joy is brought to you with the support of our listener, business and organisation members. Melbourne Water manages and cares for the city's waterways and water storages and is a proud Joy member. For more info, visit melbournewater.com.au. Joy thanks Melbourne Water for their support.
Hi guys, I'm Matt Goss and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
You're back on Sunday Arts Magazine here on Joy 94.9, and we're talking to Stephen A. Russell about movies.
Still, I know.
He's gone past the break. What's going on?
I've gone mad. I've taken over. You know? Speaking of going mad.
Exactly. There is a person, there's an actor in this movie coming up, isn't it, that David seems very fond of.
Well, I know. So I feel like we've been talking about him every single week every for the week last month now, actually.
We keep mentioning him, I think. Yes, exactly.
So just in case you're wondering who that is, the particularly handsome Northern Irish actor, Jamie Dornan, who is David's personal current fave.
Yep. Yeah, my future husband, though he's married with three children.
Doesn't know he
doesn't know.
And you missed your chance because, you know, he was down in Australia filming The Tourist, which is on Stan now.
That's right.
And it's great.
And watch it, people. It's awesome.
It really is.
Why is it awesome, David?
Because he's in it.
And look, he is also in the new film from Kenneth Branagh, which is Belfast.
Now, Neil has seen this. You're not a big fan.
Oh, totally spoilers. What?
But Neil liked it.
I really did enjoy it.
All right.
And it is probably, right, it's probably a little bit sappy in some parts, but I thought it was a very good movie.
Okay, well, I'm glad that you've just... I was going to bounce back.
I've just told you ahead of time. Sorry, we were just talking about it a little bit.
In case people don't know, this is it's a kind of autobiographical film about Branagh's own childhood.
Yep, growing up in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
During the fighting.
Well, just as the Troubles were breaking out.
Yeah.
So his family then is faced with the dilemma whether to stay in the neighbourhood they know and love and, you know, been for generations.
And because there's another very famous actor in it, isn't
there? Well,
there's quite a few of them, actually.
Because Judi Dench plays his mother.
And she's...
Accent work is amazing.
Yeah.
Really nails it. Not an easy one to do, but she does really well.
Yep.
And Kieran Hines plays, which is quite interesting because he plays the grandfather. And
he plays Judi Dench's
husband.
They play a couple, yeah.
And a lot of people have mentioned the fact that there's like about 20 or 30
years. Quite a big age difference, isn't it? Yes.
But I'm like, hello, the whole of Hollywood has been the other way. You know, how many times have men played, the love interest much older?
Every time.
Pretty much. So I was like, allow Judy a bit of, you know, it's fine if she gets a little young man, whatever. So Jamie Dornan essentially plays Kenneth Branagh's father.
Yep.
And Katrina Balfe, who people might know from Outlander, the Scottish time-hopping show, she plays his mother.
Mm. Now Kenneth is a child in this.
A very painfully annoying
child. Oh, that's the reason.
I could not stand this film. I just found it horrendously twee. I don't think it in any does any service. I think it does a disservice.
Is twee some sort of Scottish word that we should know about?
Just like la 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 la.
Oh, okay. Yes.
You know, cutesy. I mean, they have a vomitous child, you know, romance in this, which I always find really a bit disturbing as well, like him fancying the older girl in the street. I'm like, whatever, gross. It doesn't really engage with the history. I mean, I know it's his life, but I'm like, I described it as Disney Troubles. You know, nobody dies in this film. It looks
people constantly die in Disney films, so
well, that sounds also true, like, actually, very true.
Even lighter than Disney.
Look, one person does die, but it's got nothing to do with the Troubles.
Yeah.
So just as a caveat, it's so ugly looking. It's shot in black and white, but it just looks cheap. It is. I cannot believe this film is
it's just
getting so much
award,
Oscars buzz.
Yeah.
It's winning heaps. There's still, people are saying it's going to, you know, I don't know. I don't think it's going to get Best Picture. I'm just going to tip that now. I think it's going to get.
Well, didn't he win Best Script at the Golden Globes? He did. Sorry to tell you. Yeah.
But also the Globes are cancelled, so nobody cares.
Why are the Globes cancelled?
Oh my God, we could go into a whole new... Basically, they didn't even happen. They were in a closed room with no stars.
Yeah. Well, it all happened remotely and virtually, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't sure if you meant cancelled or like cancelled.
No. It technically happened, but just like... popularly cancelled because
he doesn't want Belfast to win.
True story. Very quick tangent. So it's a secretive membership that votes for the Globes, and not a lot of people know this.
Foreign press.
Yep. It was exposed that there were no people of colour at all within the membership, and then it all started to come out that there had also been various accusations of sexual harassment. Scarlett Johansson said she always finds it disgusting when she has to do any kind of press with them. Tom Cruise sent back all of his Golden Globes.
Whoa.
It was a huge sush. I can't believe he missed this.
When did this happen? Where have I been?
I don't know.
I think it happened in the middle of like COVID times. Yeah. I think it was like last year.
I might have been distracted.
Yeah, slightly. I think it was
all right. So
anyway, I thought it was absolute raw. I'm giving it one star.
Okay.
People will love it. And I just, I'm cranky old.
You know what? To be honest with you, It was a bit of a feel good sort of thing, and maybe I had COVID brain or whatever, you know. But I liked it because
no,
it was
don't
up
back down.
No. I still liked it. But the thing is that I acknowledged what it was. I mean, yeah. It's got no huge sort of merit, you know, cinematography sort of merit or anything. But it's a nice feel good movie. It was nice to watch.
All right, so you give it 5 stars.
I wouldn't give it 5, but I give it maybe about 4, 3.5.
All right, and I never tell people not to go and see a film. I just want to be clear about that. It's the start of the conversation. I thought it was absolute turd. Maybe you'll love it.
This is fine. This is all fine.
Very, very. Do I have time to squish in one very quick?
Go for it.
Alrighty. So this Friday in actually Melbourne and Sydney, a new film festival is opening, Europa. And okay. It kind of gives the focus away in the title, you know, it's European films. Well, I know, just for emphasis.
There was a movie called Europa, wasn't there?
And there also was a film in this called Europa, just for extra metaness. But look, very quickly, the program's really, really good. There's a few I really want to see, like The Innocents. I want to see Compartment Number 6, and I want to see The Souvenir Part 2. But one I have seen, because I saw it at last year's TIFF, is Sundown. And this is such a weird little film, but I just want to give it a little...
Where's it from?
Well, it's... I feel like I should know that. I don't know what's going on with me today.
All day David keeps like doing these pop quizzes, doesn't let you prepare at all.
I know, and I can't remember where. They're on holiday, so it's not like they're on holiday somewhere in Europe, and I can't remember for the life of me. Oh my God. But anyway, look, what I do know is that thanks for just making me look like an absolute fool on the radio, but never mind. Anyway, what I do know is it stars Pulp Fiction alumni Tim Roth as a kind of a very unlikable man who, there's a death in the family and his sister is played by Charlotte Gainsbourg from Melancholia and Nymphomaniac, who I love. And so the family are meant to go home to a funeral, and he's just like, oh, I forgot my passport, I'll join you in a minute, and then doesn't go home. And so the film kind of teases out in a slow burn way what is going on, why he's avoiding whatever's happening back home. And then it just increasingly turns into a really mental thriller and goes to wild places, which, and now this is where I know, now Michelle Franco, oh God, I've forgotten where he's from as well. But the director, if anyone has seen this director's films, he tends to do fairly hectic.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Full-on thrillers, and very recently he did one. I think he's actually Mexican, so this is very confusing.
Well, no, I'll just...
I'll just unravel completely.
I'll be your cheat sheet.
Yes, thank you.
Even though it's Europa, yes. The film is actually set in Acapulco, Mexico.
Thank you.
And you're right, I think Michelle Franco is actually Mexican.
So I don't really know why it fits in then, I guess.
Well... Maybe Europa actually goes a little bit broader than just Europe.
Anyway, look, he did the film New Order. It was one of the craziest, most like nail-biting films I've ever seen. So watch this film because it starts off quite intimate and slow, and then it just gets bonkers.
Okay, so what's it called?
That is Sundown, playing at the Europa Film Festival from Friday, and I'm giving that one 4 stars.
Okay. Stephen A. Russell, thank you for the fun.
For the chaos of today.
All right.
Thanks very much.
See ya.
You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.